श्रीमद् भगवद्गीता चैप्टर 15 पुरुषोत्तम योगः श्लोक 9 श्रोत्रं चक्षुस्पर्शनं च रसनं ग्राणमेव च अधिष्ठाय मनश्चायं विषयानुपसेवते. नौ कृष्ण इज टॉकिंग अबाउट व्हाट डस द जीवात्मा डू having gone to another new body. We have been talking about it in the last webinar. So what does the Jivatma do? And that is answered here in this shloka. Krishna says it will start its business once again. And what is that? Karma and Bhoga. Doing action and enjoying the Karma Phalam. Both it will continue to do. So Karma ఫల భోగం కరోతి. సో విషయాన్ ఉపసేవతే, ఇట్ ఎంజాయ్స్ ది విషయాస్. విషయాస్ ది సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్. ఓకే, అండ్ వాట్ ఇస్ ఐడియా హియర్? యు షుడ్ రిమెంబర్ దట్ ద జీవాత్మ హ్యాస్ అక్వైర్డ్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ పుణ్య అండ్ పాప ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ బాడీ, అండ్ ఇట్ హస్ నాట్ ఎగ్జాస్టెడ్ ఆల్ ది కర్మ. ఓన్లీ ద ప్రారబ్ధ కర్మ అలోన్ ఇస్ ఎగ్జాస్టెడ్. And there is still a very large bundle of karma, which is called the Sanchita Karma. This we have seen all those discussions earlier. And of this Sanchita Karma, another portion becomes mature now, becomes, you know, fructify now. And another portion can be enjoyed in a different plane. Remember, Punya Papa can be exhausted only by what? Only by experience. Punya has to be enjoyed, Papa has to be suffered. Because Punyam has to give Sukham and Papam has to give Dukham. And both Sukham and Dukham can be gained only through experiences, which means contacting the external world. And that is why in sleep, Punya Papa cannot get exhausted at all because there is no contact with the external world. During sleep, Prarabdha is dormant. It is inactive in sleep. Because when Prarabdha is active, Sukham and Dukham must come. For them to come, one should contact the world. And for contacting the world, one cannot sleep. As simple as that. In sleep, there is no contact at all. That is why we say, we wake up a person from sleep. We say Prarabdha. It says, enough sleeping. Get up. And have a cup of good or bad coffee, whatever it is, and start the day. Enjoy or suffer right from that point of that day. Good coffee means punyam, and bad coffee means papam. So that's how it is. So punya papa can be exhausted only through sukham and dukham. And sukha dukha can come only through contact with the external world. And contact with the external world requires two things. One is this grass body, the sthula shariram, which is like a rented room, this bhoga ayatanam, and sukshma shariram, which is the instrument, which is called the bhoga sadhanam. In the Tattva Bodha language, we have seen all these things earlier. So if a person wants to do business, first he has to find out the location and find a place of business, maybe a rental room. Then he carries on all the instruments of business with him. He takes the table with him, the phone with him, and all that. And one is the locus of business and the other is the instruments required for business. Similarly, the Jivatma decides whether it is Bhuloka or Bhuvarloka or Suvarloka or Patala Loka as the business center. And once it is decided, it carries the business material with it. The vasanas are taken, the punya papas, the instruments, they are all taken. And that is what is said here, Shrotram. Shrotram means each one is like a telephone. For example, here, fax machine, telephone, or whatever it is. So Shrotram refers to the ears, the power of hearing. Chakshuho, eyes, the power of sight. And Sparshanam, sense of touch. And Rasanam, the tongue, taste. And Granam, the nose, the smell. So here we should not take the physical organs. We made this also clear earlier. Chidabhasa does not carry the physical organs, but only carries the indriyas, the sukshma shariram, the subtle body. So we should take this as hearing power, as seeing power, smelling power. So the jivatma carries And it also, along with that, carries the manahacha, the manas also. When we say mind, it includes the vasanas, the desires, all those things. So that is why in the same family, if there are three children and three have got totally different inclinations, faculties or desires. Why? Because the sthula shariram may be a gift from the parent, but the sukshma shariram, it is not parent's gift. It comes from other source with its own material. Like the, for example, when people go to other countries, they even take their own water. Similarly, sukshma shariram does not want to take anything from the family. It brings from its own previous janma all the vasanas. That's what it brings. And adhishtaya, setting up all of them in the physical body. Actually, we can even compare them to shifting of the house from one place to the another. The house has changed, but the furniture, the gas, phone number, all those things even, they are all, you know, shifted. So setting up means what? Everything has a place. Kitchen will have gas. Similarly, kitchen is a golakam and the materials are the indriyam. So it is set up, the indriyam, in the appropriate places. Otherwise, it will be causing confusion of shrotrendriyam. For example, if shrotrendriyam, the hearing, this power, if it is put in the eye, then in the eyeball, it will be confusion. So adhishtaya, fixing every indriyam to the respective golakam. And what is the place of mind? Hridayam is the golakam, in the heart, for the mind. And having fixed all of them, what does it do? The jivatma. It begins the sukha dukkha bhoga, enjoyment. And so Krishna says, vishayan upasevate. The jivatma begins to experience the sense objects. And each experience will exhaust either punyam or papam. If it is particularly, if it is a pleasurable thing, it is punyam. If it is painful one, it is papam. And how long this will continue? As long as the business to be done in this place is continued, the prarabdha. So like the transferable job, for example, 3 years, 4 years, maybe this is 60 years, 70 years, we don't know. So once those many years are over, start and go and set up the shop in another location. Similarly, vacate this physical body and go to another physical body. But the difference is what? One room is vacated. It can be occupied by someone else when you vacate a physical room. But once the body is vacated, it is useless. It should be either burnt or cremated. So we saw up to this in the last class, last webinar. Now let us continue with Shloka 10. Utkramantam sthitam vapi bhunjanam vagunanvitam vimudhananu pashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshushaha. So now here Krishna, he comes to the fact of our discussion now, the topic. Why did we discuss the birth, death, the experiences and all those things? It is essentially to point out that all these things, they happen in the physical body because of chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness, which we call it as life here. And that is why the body is respected also, because respect is not for the body, but for the life. Even an unhappy life is a proof for the presence of life, whether it is a good life or bad life. That itself a proof for life. The table cannot cry, for example. It cannot get angry. The computer cannot get angry. One may be a bad person in the relative sense of the term, but even there is one plus. And what is that? The presence of life is there. He is sentient. And that is that this life is a blessing from someone else. The life is not the nature of this body. How do we know? If the life is the very nature of the body, then it would have been alive ever. The very fact that the body becomes dead shows what? That the life is only a blessing from somebody else. So every moment of my life is an anugraha. It's a blessing, it's a grace, which we generally do not recognize. We just take it for granted. The value of life comes only when death nears, not until then. Since we are busy in having all other things like wife, children, house, car, all things, we don't know the value of the greatest blessing that we already have. That is, we are all alive. So Krishna says, every moment is showing the presence of Chidabhasa, the life. And the Chidabhasa is because of what? The Chit, the Paramatma. So we can say, every living moment is the grace of the Lord, the Paramatma, the Chit. And in Bhagavad Gita, the Paramatma is depicted as Krishna himself. And so he says, I, the Lord alone, am blessing everyone by giving them life. But still, the fool, what he mood asks, what they think, they ask, where is God and what is the proof of the existence of God? All these questions they keep on asking. But the mature person, the wise person, he feels the presence of God every moment of life. And the immature person never recognizes at all, even though it is available every moment of one's life very intimately. So Krishna says, Utkramantam, the Jivatma is very evident when it leaves the body. How is it evident? Not that we see the Jivatma going somewhere or anything, but we see the body which becomes dead. The moment Jivatma leaves, the body becomes dead. It is like electricity becoming very evident. When the power goes, the fan stops. Suddenly we understand that there was a mysterious power blessing you, which was not directly seen by us at all, but whose presence was felt every moment, thus through the fan, through the light and all that. So Utkramantam Jivam. Stitam. The Jivatma is evident when it is present in the body, staying in the body. Because of this alone, the body is called the holy thing. Blood circulation, breathing, all those things, they happen. Even when the body is sleeping, we call it a sleeping body and not a dead body. Because it is still a sentient body. Because there is something called the life in that body, in that sleeping body also. So it is, its presence is very evident. And Bunjanam, the Jivatma experiencing the world of objects. Literally it means what? It means eating. Bunjana means eating. In this context, it is experiencing. It is experiencing through all the five sense organs. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, all of them. And experiencing all of them, and every experience is a proof for the presence of Jivatma. The experience may be a good experience, it may be a bad experience, whatever may be. It reveals the existence of Jivatma. And Gunanvitam. Gunanvitam, the Jivatma endowed with the three gunas, Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna, and Tamo Guna. How? Because Jivatma is intimately associated with the Antakaranam or Antarindriyam, the mind. Because Jivatma is Chidabhasa, which is reflected consciousness, which is inseparably associated with the reflecting medium. So Jivatma is intimately associated with Antakaranam, the inner equipment called the mind. And Antakaranam has got three gunas. And what are those gunas? Sattva guna, Rajo guna, and Tamo guna. So Jivatma is Sagunaga because of its association with the Saguna mind. If you remove the Antakaranam, the mind, then the very same Jivatma becomes Paramatma. So, as Paramatma, it is Nirgunam. As Jivatma, it is Sagunam. So, because when it gets associated with the Antakaranam, Jivatma becomes Sagunam. So, Gunanvitam. And how do we know that this Jivatma is associated with these three gunas? That is another question. We don't directly experience that, but the three gunas, they create three types of experiences, like Sukham, Dukkham and Mohaha. Sukha, Dukkha and Moha. Sukham is indication of Sattva Guna. Dukkham is indication of Rajo Guna. And Moha is indication of Tamo Guna. So Jivatma is associated with these three gunas. That means what? Jivatma says, now I am Sukhi. I am enjoyer. When it says, next moment I am unhappy, next moment I am confused, the same Jivatma says all that. That means we are gunanvitam only. These are all adjectives to Jivatma, we should understand. Such a Jivatma, who is evident in all these ways, vimudaha na anupashyanti. The deluded people, vimudaha, they do not recognize, na anupashyanti. Krishna doesn't say mudaha, he says vimudaha, visheshena mudaha. Those who are completely deluded, these are not just ordinary, these are completely deluded people. Na anupashyati, anipashyanti, na pashyanti means they do not see by themselves. Because a little bit of common sense will do to know that the body is blessed by something else, namely the Chaitanyam. Because till yesterday, it was a living body. But now it is a dead body. I can easily infer that there is something that is missing in this body. And that principle is different from the body. And the mudas, they do not know this because they have no common sense. Krishna is very strong. Okay, if they don't know by themselves, does not matter. But at least after the scriptures tell that there is a jiva who is, you know, different from the body, who has taken the body temporarily, who has dropped the body at the time of death, he alone takes punarjanma later. When the scriptures say all these, at least they must understand. They don't. So the prefix anu refers to Shastra Upadesha. They are called the Charvakas, materialistic people, who consider body alone is Atma. With the death of the body, the individual is gone. And there is no continuation at all, no punarjanma and all that. What is the proof of punarjanma, they ask, all the Charvakas. They for everything, they want a pratyaksha pramana. So he says, Krishna says, vimudaha na anupashyanti. Whereas jnana chakshushaha, those who have got the eye of wisdom, jnanam, who have the jnana chakshuhu, the third eye, symbolic of third eye. So ajna chakravya nilaya. So that's what Amba is called, ajna chakravya nilaya. So that is the third eye. Ajna means what? Asamantat jnanam. Ajna. And that third eye is not a physical eye, but one of understanding. The physical eye will see only the body of the person. With my wisdom, I must understand I am not the body, but I am the Jivatma behind the body. And the body is not listening to my talk, but you, the Jivatma, that Jivatma is listening through the body, just like your dress. But I understand you are something different from your dress. The dress will come and go. Similarly, your body is another dress. You are someone behind the body, the Jivatma operating through the body. This I don't see, but I should understand. So, jnana chakshushaha pashyanti, atma anatma vivekinaha pashyanti, kshetra kshetrajna vivekinaha pashyanti, all are one and the same. And how do they understand? That we have to understand, shastra acharya upadesham anupashyanti. With the help of the Guru and the Shastra, they recognize, they understand. Shloka 11. Yatanto yoginas chainam pasyantyatman yavasthitam yatanto pyakritatmanaha nainam pasyantya chetasaha. So in the previous shloka, that is this vimuda, these people, they do not recognize even after studying the scriptures. Why? Krishna gives the reason here, because they have not purified their mind. The necessary samskaras, preparations have not been undergone yet. Whereas those who have prepared themselves, they will easily understand. So Krishna says, yoginaha pashyanti. Yoginaha. Yoginaha means sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinaha samskrita antakkaranaha. Those people, those refined people, those prepared people. Why Krishna calls them yoginaha? Because they got sadhana chatushtaya sampatti through karma yoga. That we already said earlier, karma yoga gives chitta shuddhi. And through upasana yoga, it gives chitta ekagrata, focus. So pashyanti, they recognize. And what do they recognize? Atmani avasthitam ishwaram. The Lord who is residing. Avasthita means who is residing. Atmani. Atmani here, Atma means the antakaranam, the mind, not the Sachidananda Atma. This is the mind. So antakarane avasthitam. Yoveda nihitam guhayam parame vyoman. So the Paramatma who is residing in the shariram or in the mind in the form of Jivatma. So the yogis, they recognize Paramatma who is residing in them in the form of Jivatma. Kshetrajna rupena samsthitam. In the kshetra. So kshetrajnam chapimam vidhim sarvakshetresu bharata. That's what Krishna said. So Paramatmanam Jivatma rupena antakarane avasthitam pashyanti. They see, they recognize. Pashyanti means aham iti janati. So they understand, they recognize as I, the Jivatma. Soham iti pashyanti. Saha paramatma aham. Jivatma asmi. That is how they see. How? Yatantaha. By putting forth proper effort. Prayatanam kurvantaha. They do lot of prayatanam. They go through so much of all these exercise. So the yogis recognize the Paramatma as Jivatma by putting forth necessary effort, which is called Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. So Yatantaha means Vedanta Shravanadikam Kurvantaha. The people who have done, who have gone through Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga Kurvantaha. So first they did Karma Yoga. They did Upasana to become qualified. And those purified people, having become purified, they take to Jnana Yoga to recognize the Lord. That is the only way. Whereas Akritaha, Akrita Atmanaha, the other people whose minds are impure. Atma means, again, it's mind. Akritam. Akritam means asamskritam. Not purified people. Not refined people. One who does not have good samskaras. Who does not have good vasanas. So, a religious environment helps people to gain those things. For example, morning, evening, do certain things. It will transform the attitude, the mind. So, they want to have philosophy without religion. That does not work. So, Akrita Atmanaha, the unprepared ones, and Achetasaha, who do not have buddhi, Chetas. Chetas means this is Avivekinaha, people who don't have a Viveka Shakti because of impure mind again. Chitta Shuddhi is not there. So, if it is Sattva Pradhana, Viveka will be bright. We saw that earlier. If it is Raja or Tama Pradhana, Viveka will not be bright at all. They will study Bhagavad Gita and still will be in worldly thoughts and actions only. It won't transform them. And Achetasaha, Yenam na Pashyanti. They do not recognize na Pashyanti. This Paramatma who is in the form of Jivatma, that we have to understand. Or they do not recognize the Jivatma who is none other than Paramatma. Yatantaha api, even if they strive, if they work hard, they don't. That means what? Even if they try to study scriptures or practice meditation, none of them will work. Because of what? Study without a pure mind will not go inside. And meditation without pure mind will be only a sitting, wandering session. Person will be sitting, closing his eyes, mind will be going all over the globe. So, nainam pashyanti, achetasaha. With this shloka, this topic is concluded that Paramatma is in the form of the Jivatma behind all bodies. And this should be connected to the original topic. Natat bhashayate suryaha, na shashanko na pavakaha, yadgatva na nivartante taddhamam paramam mama. There Krishna said, reaching Paramatma, one does not return back. There also reaching Paramatma means what we should understand clearly, knowing that Paramatma is none other than Jivatma. That knowledge, that itself is reaching. This portion is to actually show that there is no distance between the two, namely the Jivatma and Paramatma, and so no question of travel, and so no question of return also. That's what Krishna makes it very clear. Shloka 12. యదాదిత్యగతం తేజః జగద్భాసయతేఖిలం యచ్చంద్రమసి యచ్చాగ్నౌ తత్తేజో విద్ధి మామకం. సో ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ పోర్షన్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్లోక 7 అప్ టు ద 11th శ్లోక వి సెడ్ దట్ పరమాత్మ అలోన్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ జీవాత్మ ఇన్ ఆల్ ది జీవాస్. Now, in the following portion from shloka 12 to 15, four shlokas, Krishna says that Paramatma alone is in the form of everything in creation. So, Paramatma is Jivaha and Paramatma is Jagat, the world also. And this is also to indicate that Paramatma is Advaitam. Advaita Siddhihi, we call it Advaita Siddhihi, this knowledge. So that is previously we count three, Ishvara, Jiva and Jagat. That's how we counted. Now Krishna has removed the Ishvara and Jiva division and made them as one. And then what is left out is only the Jagat. And that also is being joined with Ishvara or Paramatma in these shlokas. That means there is no Jiva or Jagat other than Paramatma. That is the ultimate learning. So, sarvam kalu idam brahma. So, that's what it is going to be told. And this alone we call it sarvatma bhavaha. Sarvatma bhavaha. Sarvam atma iti bhavaha. Atma means paramatma iti bhavaha. And this wisdom or this knowledge, this is what Krishna is discussing in all these four shlokas. And for this purpose, he uses a peculiar method. First, he says, he takes the light of the sun. Because that is the most important thing that we have in our life, sunlight. Because we should remember, Krishna cannot enumerate everything and say that I am all that. Then the list will go on and on and on. Because if he has to enumerate everything, then 15th chapter will never be over. So he takes some important things and say they are not other than me. They are all same as me. And for the people, the first and foremost thing is Surya, sun god, sun. And Krishna says, the light in the sun, O Arjuna, is me alone. That is why in the daily Sandhyavandana Karma also, the light of the sun alone is worshipped. Tat savitur varenyam bargho devasya dhimahi. Savituhu devasya varenyam bargaha vayam dhimahi. Savituhu devasya, of the Surya Bhagavan. Of the Lord, sun god, Varenyam Bargaha, the most auspicious light. Bargaha means the brilliant light, because it is the light giving life. The very getting up in the morning is because of sunlight. Day and night, the seasons, they are all because of sun. So Krishna first attacks that. Don't call it solar energy. It is Bhagavan's energy. He says, Yat Tejaha Aditya Gatam. That effulgence, that tejas, which is in Aditya, in the sun god, Akhilam Jagat Basayate, which illumines the whole universe. It gives light, heat, energy, it gives all that. Here Basayate literally means illumination, which includes giving heat, light, energy and all those things. So even scientifically they say that the sunlight has got some important nutrients for the skin, vitamin D and other things. And that is why in cold countries where they have to remain inside all the time, they need to go out in the sun at least for some time. They like to get tanned. They go and fall in the sunlight somewhere in the beach. Otherwise, vitamin D deficiency will come, causing some skin disease and all that. That's what they say. So all these are included in Bhasayate. Then, Yat Chandramasi. Again, we have to add Tejaha. Yat Tejaha Chandramasi. The light. Which is in the moon. And yat cha agnav. Again we have to add tejaha. The light in the agni. That light which is in the fire. The same agni tattvam is suryaha in the upper range. And the same thing is called agni in the prithivi. In the earth. Both are same principle only. So that light of the agni. The fire god. Tat tejaha mamakam vidhi. Arjuna, you understand that light to be belonging to me only. Mamakam means madiyam, mine. And hence, Krishna is talking as Paramatma, and so he is using the word Mamakam. These are all subtle points we have to note. Krishna is talking here, Mamakam, myself, as Paramatma, he is meaning here. So Krishna is not talking about as Devaki Putraha, but he is talking now as Paramatma. And normally, it is taken in two ways. We can take literal meaning also and symbolic meaning also. That is why in Gayatri also is set with two meanings. If we take the literal meaning, everything is the vikaram, the modification of Lord only. Because we know para and apara prakriti. We already saw that. Brahman and Maya alone has become the whole universe. And so everything is Lord only. Nothing other than Lord. So sun also is Bhagavan. And sunlight also is Bhagavan. So in this angle, sun is seen only as matter. And sunlight as the power of the matter, the Surya Shaktihi. So they become the Lord. They belong to the Lord only. Which part of the Lord? Paraprakriti or Aparaprakriti? We have seen this earlier. If the sun is the matter and the sunlight is Shakti, then it is Aparaprakriti of the Lord. On the other hand, if we take Suryaha as the Devata, referring to the Samashti Devata, the total, and the light as symbolizing the chaitanyam, the awareness, then the light in the sun represents the paramatma chaitanyam, the para prakriti. In this case, the light is not the material light we talk about. Light symbolizes the awareness. And in that case, the idea is what? The awareness or the paramatma alone is in the form of the jivatma. And so how does the Paramatma bless me? By giving me the Chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness. And the mind as the reflecting medium is able to reflect it. So if we take the sun as Aparaprakriti, then the sun is blessing the body by giving me life, by giving me nutrition and all that thing. But if we take the philosophical meaning, sunlight representing the Paramatma, which is blessing me, means what? Not giving nutrition and all that, but by giving the Chidabhasa. And Chidabhasa Pradhanena, it blesses. So we can take either way, doesn't matter. But how are we going to take here? If we ask, we will take in the sense of Apara Prakriti only. It's a subtle point, because in the later shlokas, they are all put in that particular aspect only. Whereas in the Sandhyavandana Karma, we take the philosophical meaning as Paraprakriti. There, Varenyam Vargaha, we symbolically take it as awareness. But in these shlokas, we take sunlight not as awareness, but as the literal light, the material energy of the sun, the solar energy. So, Tat Tejaha Viddhi Mamakam, that is mine only. And we are taking this meaning because in later shlokas, Krishna says that the solar energy alone comes down and gives life to the people. And again, the moonlight alone produces the food and all that. So because Krishna is talking about those things, we are not taking the meaning of awareness, philosophical meaning. We are taking only this material meaning. Literally as the sunlight, the light of the sun. Shloka 13. Gama Vishyacha Bhutani धारयाम्यहमोजसाम् पुष्णामि च औषधि सर्वाः सोमो भूत्वा रसात्मकः. So of the three lights, namely the sunlight, the moonlight and the fire, Agni, Krishna takes the sunlight here and talks about the importance of sunlight. He says, Gam avishya, having entered the prithvi, ga means prithvi, the earth. What is entering? The Surya Prakasha. And who is the Surya Prakasha? Krishna says, I am only the Surya Prakasha. So I alone am entering the earth in the form of Surya Prakasha. So having entered the earth in the form of Surya Prakasha, sunlight, Aham Bhutani Dharayami, I sustain all beings. Aham Bhutani Dharayami. Ojasa, with my own energy. Ojas means Shakti. So with my power, I sustain all beings. We know sunlight is very important for health and energy, and Shankaracharya takes Bhutani as the non-living beings also, the earth and all that. In Sanskrit, the word Bhutani has got two meanings. In some context, Bhutani will mean Panchabhutani, which are all inert. In some other context, it will mean also the living beings. So in the third chapter, he says, Annad Bhavanti Bhutani, we saw. There we said Bhutani as living beings. Incidentally, when we say the living beings are born, there the living beings refer to Atma or Anatma. It's a small diversion point. Atma is never born. So Bhutani refers to only Sharirani Ityartha, Anatma. And in this context, both can be taken. Shankara takes Pancha Bhutani, the earth, air, etc. They are all sustained by Surya Prakasha only. But nothing wrong in taking the body also as the meaning, since sun also sustains the Shariram, the body also. Aham Ojasa Dharayami. This is the job of what? Surya Prakasha, sunlight. Sunlight does that job. Then what about Chandra Prakasha? That is given here in the second line. Sarvaha Oshadihi Pushnami. I nourish all the plant kingdom, all the Oshadis, plant kingdom in the form of Chandra Prakasha, Somaha. Somaha refers to Chandra Prakasha. And what type of Chandra Prakasha? Rasatmakaha, which is full of rasam, nourishment or nutrient. So according to scriptures, the moonlight contains lot of nourishing energy. And this energy alone is transferred to the plant kingdom. And when we eat those plants, the nourishment comes to us. And Chandra Prakasha is none other than the Lord. So Lord alone is nourishing all of us, giving carbohydrate, protein, salt, all those things. So Pushnami, I nourish. And the word Oshadihi, that also has got two meanings. The herbs, that's a common meaning, from which Aushadam is prepared. And generally the plant kingdom, the full plant kingdom is also called Oshadi. Prithivya Oshadayaha Oshadibhyonam, we already saw in the Taittiriya Upanishad. So that is the meaning. So there Oshadi means not herb, but Annam. Annam, because Annam is prepared from the herb, but of all the plants. So I nourish all plant kingdom in the form of the nourishing sunlight. That is the meaning. Shloka 14. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha Pranapana Samayuktaha Pachamyannam Chaturvidham. So the third Prakasha, namely the Agni Prakasha, that is talked about here. So in the form of Surya Prakasha, the Lord sustains the earth. In the form of Chandra Prakasha, the Lord gives nourishment to the plant and all. Now, if the nourishment has to be absorbed in the body, we need another Shakti, the digestive power. It involves a tremendous chemical process to convert the food into blood, bones, tissues, muscles and all that thing. They say the blood is such a substance that even now there is no method of manufacturing blood. If you could only do that, that'll be so nice. So within the smallest factory, the stomach, all these chemical conversions take place, even without our own awareness. That processing is done by a fire, a cooking process. We do the external cooking of converting vegetables and all that thing into sambar, rasam and all that thing. And the second cooking is done within the stomach. And for that cooking, we need a fire. And that inside fire is called Vaishvanara Agni. And that is why eating is called the Pranagnihotram. It's called Agni. It's another Agnihotram called Pranagnihotram. So the Homakunda is the stomach. And the flame of fire is the Vaishvanara Agni. And another name for this Samana Pranaha. This is also called in the Pancha Pranas. This is also called Samana Pranaha. And we are offering all these Pranaya Swaha, Panaya Swaha, Vyanaya Swaha and all. When we consume the food and eating, it is another type of Nitya Agnihotram. So even if you don't do any other Agnihotram, if you keep on eating the food as prescribed in the scriptures in this particular way, then it is also Nitya Agnihotram only called Prana Agnihotram. So even for watching TV, we need something to munch these days. It's a tradition. Moment people go to a movie, there's a big can of some popcorns and all that thing they just take. And see the beauty? Lord is sustaining the earth, Bhutani, and let us take it as earth here, as Shankaracharya did, in the form of Surya Prakasha. And Lord sustains the eatables in the form of Chandra Prakasha. And Lord sustains the eater in the form of Vaishwanara Agni. So eater is the Lord. The eaten is the Lord. The earth in which all this takes place is Lord. Also in the body only is also Lord. So one is in the form of Surya Prakasha. Another is in the form of Chandra Prakasha. And another as Vaishwanara Agni, that Shakti. And that is what is said here. Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva. Becoming the digestive power. Digestive fire. Where? Praninam Deham Ashritaha. Residing in the body of all living beings. Aham Annam Pachami. I cook food. It means what? It means I assimilate or digest the annam, the food coming from the plant kingdom, which also was nourished by me only. So, aham annam pachami. And we have to imagine the cooking process in the olden days, the way it is done. We need to create a fire under that, and to keep up the fire, they have to constantly blow air. I don't know whether people even remember some of those traditional cooking with firewood and all that. Here also, the fire has to be well kindled so that the digestion will take place properly. For that, fanning air is necessary. Fan both sides. Similarly, for the samana prana, what is the fanning? Breathing in and breathing out. That is fanning that fire. Breathing in or inhalation is called apanaha. And breathing out or exhalation is called pranaha. So in some other context, prana means inhalation and exhalation. People use it differently also. Apana is exhalation. But in this context, inhalation is called apanaha and exhalation is called pranaha. And this we have seen actually in the fourth chapter also. Dravya yajna, tapo yajna, various types of yajnas were given where prana, apana yajnas were pointed out in that place. So apane juhvati pranam, prane panam tadapare. That was what's in the fourth chapter. So in the fifth chapter also, towards the end, pranapanagatirudva, that was also said. So we talked about all that. So apana has got two different meanings, inhalation or excretion. Both of them are there. And how the two different meanings can be given, actually two different meanings can be given, we can slightly understand. The derivation of adho gamanavan vayuhu, the vayu which goes down, adho gamanavan vayuhu. From this angle, inhalation also is called apana, because during inhalation, the vayu is going down to the lungs only. When you breathe, this goes down to the lungs. So adho gamanavan vayuhu, it is called apana. But when the vayu is going further, when it's the other things and removes the excretion, the very same vayu is called excretory air. Therefore, inhalation also is downgoing prana, and so is excretion, and both are called apana. Excretion also is a downgoing one, which is removing all the waste matter. And prana means prak gamanavan vayuho. That which goes in front of us, that is prana. That which that grows in front is prana. So what goes in front? Exhalation grows in front. Inhalation goes in. When you exhale, that goes in front. So these two processes are called fanning. And that is why they say the one who has got good breathing will have good hunger. The breathing, how many times you breathe in and breathe out. Even when we exert during exercise, we breathe air heavily. So apana prana is kindled. The fire becomes very big, and so eat more. And what is that fire? Krishna says, aham. So I become samana pranaha, kindled by prana and apana, these two fires. So prana, apana, samayuktaha. And what do I do? annam pachami. I cook. I cook the food. I eat the annam. And from that angle, I am called Atta or Annadaha. That is a better word of Taittiriya Upanishad. Annadaha. So, as Vaishwanara Agni, I am called Annadaha. And the food is called Annam. So, I am Annam, I am Annadaha, both. Ahamannam, Ahamannam, Ahamannam. Ahamannado, Ahamannado, Ahamannadaha. Taittiriya Upanishad. Ahamannam and Annadaha, both. I am Agnitattvam, I am Somatattvam. As Annam, I am Somatattvam. And as Vaishwanara Agni, I am Agnitattvam. So, Agni Somau Aham Asmi. Okay. And what type of Annam it is? Krishna says, Chaturvidam Annam. All the four types of Annam. And what are they? Annam is classified into four based on the type of eating, the way it is consumed. And the four are what? Bhakshyam, Bhojyam, Choshyam, and Lehyam. These are the four types of food. Bhakshyam, Bhojyam, Choshyam, and Lehyam. And what does each one mean? Bhakshyam. Bhakshyam means anyone that is masticated and eaten, bitten, crushed by the teeth. All those things. That is Bhakshyam. Naan. See, Ahankara is called Naan in Tamil. Naan. Ahankara. Then Bhojyam. Bhojyam, that which is directly swallowed is Bhojyam. Like drink and all. You just put it in the mouth and just swallow it. That is Bhojyam. And Choshyam, that which is sucked. In fact, when you sip something, you are doing Bhojyam job. Only when you pour it, it is Bhojyam. But when you sip it, it is Choshyam. When you drink coffee, if you go on sipping and drinking the coffee, that is Choshyam. But when you pour it straight into the throat and gulp it, then that is Bhojyam. Here you are sucking with a straw. The child, you know, sucks the milk, the mother's milk. It's all Choshyam. And Lehyam, that which is licked, like honey and all that, Ayurvedic Lehyam. They make all this Lehyam, you know, that's called which is licked. So all the four types of Annam, four types of food, they enter the same destination. And all of them, Aham Pachami. I cook all of them. And what is the essence? I am the eater and the eaten. Aham Annam Asmi, Aham Annadaha Asmi. And that is why that famous shloka, Annam Brahma, Annam Brahma Raso Vishnuhu Bhokta Devo Maheshwaraha Iti Sanchitya Bunjanaha Drishti Doshair Nalipyate. Annam Brahma Raso Vishnuhu, the sustaining power of Annam, the nutrition, is the sustainer Vishnu, the Rasaha. And who eats up, destroys everything? Maheshwara or Bhokta. And there is no scope for I at all. I don't have to say I ate, I did, I sustained. No, everything the Lord. Ishwara is the food. Ishwara is the nutrition. Ishwara is the consumer. Everything is Ishwara. So, iti sanchityam bunjanaha. Thus, remembering this Lord, the person he eats. Saha drishti doshaihi or anna doshaihi na lipyate. He will not have any anna dosha at all. He will not have any problem through food, either indigestion or any of those things. And that is why this shloka is chanted before eating any many places. All those places. In fact, the whole 15th chapter is chanted before eating. In many places, they will chant the 15th chapter. But if they are very hungry, they cannot chant the entire 15th chapter. At least chant this shloka onwards till the end. If there is no time for that, also, at least chant this one verse. Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva Praninam Dehamashritaha Pranapana Samayuktaha Pachamyannam Chaturvidham. At least recite this one shloka, and that is what Krishna says in this particular shloka. It's a very important shloka which is often chanted. Next shloka might take some more time, so I am going to stop here, and we will see shloka 15 in the next webinar. ಯೋ ವೇದಾದೌ ಸ್ವರ ಪ್ರೋಕ್ತೋ ವೇದಾಂತೇ ಚ ಪ್ರತಿಷ್ಠಿತಃ ತಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿಲೀನಸ್ಯ ಪರಸ್ಸ ಮಹೇಶ್ವರಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾರ್ಪಣಮಸ್ತು ನಾರಾಯಣ.